myself off. Now I'm back on. Is that better? Sorry, Joe. And so what happens is, I'm giving away one of my secrets here. So when Caroline plays a song, I will hum along. But if I leave my mic on, then anybody online gets to hear me humming that song. So I always turn myself off so you can't hear me humming the song. And then sometimes I forget to turn it back on, just like that. Galatians chapter number 5, we look here. And these would be, in a couple of weeks, if you look at, we're almost through here. We have two more weeks after this, going through the fruits of the Spirit. And I would encourage you to memorize these two verses. Know what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit we see here is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And man, there's so much more good stuff going into chapter number 6. One of these days, I've been looking at the book of Galatians real close. Does anybody remember years ago when I did a series through the book of Galatians? You remember it? Yeah. So I got one person that remembers it. I will tell you this. When I did that, it was a long time ago, because it's before I started going through the Bible the way I do now. I did a terrible job on that book. And so I'm going to do a redo on the book of Galatians one day. And I think it'll be a real benefit and a help. I'm not sure when, but I'm gonna be doing a redo on that book. And so there's a few that I've done, a few books of the Bible that I'm like, I'm going to do a redo, because I've just grown a little bit in my preparation and study of the passages. And I shouldn't have said anything, because 98% of you didn't even realize I ever did Galatians, and it would have been fine, and you never would have figured it out. And I don't even know if I did outlines back then when I did it. We see here today faith. Faith. We need faith. When we look at the word faith here, we think of faith, we think of faithfulness. Two things that are needed in the Christian life. And two things that we cannot do on our own. As we look at faith in the Bible, faith is not only belief in God, but it's also trusting in His promises and faithfulness in our actions. Faith is just not, okay, I believe him. Faith is something, doing something about it. And the way that that works in our lives. And so as we look at this today, and as we're going to tie this all together here in a couple minutes, how does the fruit of faith shape our relationship with God? How does it help us in our day-to-day life? How does faith apply? And we know it works, right? We were talking about earlier, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Well, that's how we grow. And Rebecca was asking me earlier, she's like, she's trying to piece together still what I was saying back there. And I love when people have questions, or when I say something that doesn't quite make sense, going a little bit deeper with it. But really, faith to faith, that's our growth in the Christian life. Because it's from one thing of faith to the next, and to the next. And sometimes we stop growing because we don't listen and do what God tells us to do right here, and we backslide. And then we come to the reality and get right with the Lord and get back to where we were. And that's what life is, from faith to faith. How do we apply this to our life? What can we learn today about the fruit of faith? Father, I pray you bless the next few minutes this morning. And Lord, I pray that you guide us and help us. And as we look at this today, we need you, Lord. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Something that I'm going to have to adjust to right here is, I'm used to Sunday morning preaching the same message three times. And it's like by the third time, it's perfected, the trifecta. But now it's only two, but my mind is still on that first sermon. And now I got to go here. And normally Sunday afternoon, what I do for my afternoon, I spend all afternoon, watch a little football, might go for a little walk. But I spend a good hour or two working on tonight's message. It's already been done earlier in the week, but I take that time to refresh so I'm good for it. There's no refreshing now. Last night I refreshed for both to be ready for today, so we'll see how it goes. If we look at faith, we need to understand, first of all, number one, the source of faith. Where does faith come from? The source of faith. We see, first of all, letter A, the fact that faith comes from God. Ephesians 2, verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's why I've mentioned before, one of my favorite hymns that we sing is It Is Well With My Soul, and I think Dolly, it's her favorite too. And some of you might be getting sick. You can never get sick of singing that song, but that's why I got to take a break every once in a while. But it's a great song. And I love that Horatio Spafford, when he penned those words, and it might, sometimes we look at words and we don't realize the detail. He doesn't say, "And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight." Because he knew that it wasn't his faith. It says, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight." Because it's not mine. It is something that comes from God. You and I, before salvation, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. How can a dead man have faith if it were not for the gift of God? It's something that God gives. And we see that faith comes from God. Faith is not mere, not human effort. It's a gift of the Spirit of God. And when we think about faith, faith, letter B, is rooted in God's character. It's who He is. God is a faithful God, isn't He, this morning? He is faithful. And He never lets us down. And our faith grows as we recognize God's faithfulness in His word and in His actions. You think about in Lamentations chapter number 3. And if we had time, we could go there. Literally, the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is lamenting over the city of Jerusalem. He's looking at the destruction, the devastation that's taken place. Just picture and think about it. The past couple of weeks, the fires that have burned. And like you look at an area like Pacific Palisades, a beautiful area, and it's decimated to nothing, most of it. Or you go up to Pasadena and out to that area right there, out that area, and there's this destruction everywhere. And imagine looking over your beautiful city. Imagine Jeremiah looking over the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, the temple, everything destroyed. And he's talking about how down he is and how awful everything is. And then turn there with me. I'm not going to just keep telling it without you seeing more of it. You say, "Well, what about time?" It's the last service of the day. We can go as long as we want and you will be okay. You'll be fine. Say, "Well, my stomach's growling." You should have grabbed a snack at the snack table. Look at Jeremiah, and I won't be that long today. Jeremiah chapter number 3. And as we're there, just look at the verses before the verses up on the screen there. Lamentations, yes, but look at verse number 19. "Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." Wormwood represents like a bitterness. Lamentation 3, verse 19. "Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." And Jeremiah's like, look at what's taking place, and I'm feeling awful about it. But look what he says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And in the midst of a terrible time and the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah said, "Hey, I'm feeling awful about this. I can't even take it how bad this is. But I recalled my mind and I have hope inside that because the Lord is there and because of His mercies, we're not consumed. His compassions are there. His faithfulness is there every day for me." You see, our faith grows as we recognize God's faithfulness in His word and in His actions, and God is faithful. This morning, as we look at this, we think about the source of faith. It comes from God, and faith is rooted in God's character. It's who He is, and God wants it in our lives, which leads us to, for us, number two, the characteristics of faith. The characteristics of faith. What does that look like? How does faith look in our lives today? Well, first of all, letter A, it begins with trust in God's promises. It's faith. It's trusting in God's promises. What does Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith chapter, tell us? Now, faith, what is it? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why if you can see it, it's not faith. There are a lot of people out there like, okay, there are a lot of
The Bible gives us a lot of detail about a lot of things in it. And there are so many things. Okay, you go to Jerusalem. And a friend of mine, he and his family, just they're doing tours again into Israel, which is interesting to note. I would have waited a little bit longer before I went, but hey, they're there. And they go to this garden tomb. Well, wouldn't it just be nice if the Lord just made it known to us for sure? This is right where Jesus was. But we don't need that. This is like the real Mount Sinai. Most Bibles will have in the maps, the traditional Mount Sinai is just outside of Egypt a little bit. And it doesn't line up at all with what the scriptures say. You want a great documentary to watch, and I think you can find it on YouTube, The Search for the Real Mount Sinai. And these guys take the Word of God, and they use the Word of God The Search for the Real Mount Sinai. They take the Word of God and do it based on there and search it out. They sneak into Saudi Arabia, where Mount Sinai truly is. They sneak into there, and they show pictures of the hieroglyphics and where there was an altar, probably where the calf was. You see little things like that. And I know we would think to ourselves, well, if God would just make, and you cannot go there because their government won't let you in. And you wonder why they won't let you in? I think the biggest reason is God doesn't want us in. Because it's written in the Word that all these things happen. I don't need to go see it somewhere because that takes away the faith. Mount Ararat and the Ark. And some people claim that they've seen it up there. Who knows? Who cares? The Bible says that's where it was at. So trust the Bible. You don't have to see. Remember, there was someone in the Bible who had to see it. There was no faith in it. Thomas, unless I put my finger in his side, unless I do that, I'm not going to believe. Where was the faith in that? And what did Jesus say? Go ahead. My Lord and my God. Oh, he should have known that long before he ever stuck his finger in his side. He should have had that one figured out. But what did Jesus say? Blessed are those that believe and have not seen. And you are going through a struggle in your life, and you don't know how you're going to get through, but God's promise to say he works things together for good, and God's going to work things out. Faith says, I don't know how this is going to be, but I'm going to trust you. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, trusting in God's promises. Faith involves confident trust in God, even when we can't see the outcome. With another characteristics of faith, letter B, faithfulness in our walk with God. This is daily faith in our lives, faithfulness in our walk with God. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Hey, in the Christian life, just faithfulness. That's all it needs to be. Say, I'm so worried about all these things and being this and being that. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Faith expresses itself through consistency and obedience in our relationship with God. So, Pastor, I want to do big things for God. Just faithfully read your Bible every day. Start there. Oh, there's a... Just do it. Hey, just pray every day. Just get a time with God. Faithfulness to that. But, Pastor, I want to do big things. That is big. That's why sometimes we think, you know, we say it's a little thing. But it's a big thing. To open up God's Word and it's a big thing. To spend time in prayer with the King of Kings each day, it's not a little, it's a big deal. The greatest thing you can do today is spend time with God. Say, well, what about spend time with your family? But you will not be for your family what you need to be if you don't spend time with God. Because you got to seek Him first, and everything else will follow. You want to be a good husband, you want to be a good worker, you want to be a good whatever the case is, whatever you are in life, if you aren't doing what you need to do with the Lord, you're never going to be what you need to be for everybody else. That's why you're Christians all the time. Love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. I believe you need to love your neighbor. But you will never love your neighbor until you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why back at COVID, we heard all the time, love your neighbor and wear a mask. Love your neighbor and stay home and don't go to church. Oh, time out. Time out on that one. And I've already told you before,
someday something else is going to come up.
And they're going to say, you got to shut church down and do all that. We will still meet. There will still be, I promise you that. The next service, the church will still be here meeting. And it's not going to stop that. But they would say, well, love your neighbor and stay home. No, I love my God more than I love my neighbor. And I will go to church because it's for the Lord, not for anything else. And I will love God first so everything else falls in line.
And just be faithful in the little things, which are big things, as I mentioned a minute ago. Characteristics of faith, trusting in God's promises, faithful in our walk with God. How about this one, the courage in the face of trials? David penned these words in Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. And what faith enables us to do? It enables us as believers to trust God's sovereignty even in difficult times. And that's the thing. God doesn't say, have faith, and then say, figure it out. Literally. Do you know how the Bible tells us in Peter that he's given us everything unto life and godliness? Everything? With the Spirit of God, you and I have everything we need to get through life. So the Lord wants us to, and it pleases God that we have faith, right? That's in the Bible. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And then God says, one of the benefits of having me in your life is faith. Say, Pastor, I don't have any faith. When's the last time you asked the Lord to increase your faith? When's the last time you asked him in those areas and how we need faith? We see that God is the source of faith. Faith is rooted in the character of God. We see that the characteristics of faith. We trust in his promises. We faithfully follow and walk in him, and we have courage in the face of trials. We see number three, the practice of faith. How do we practice it in our lives? Well, first of all, letter A, we live by faith, not by sight. Far too many Christians want all the answers and everything figured out right at this moment. That isn't a life of faith. You got to trust him. If we have it all planned out and we know how everything's going to be, how does that show any faith? What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:7? For we walk by faith. The word walk is the way we live. We live by faith, not by sight. That's big in life, isn't it? We're talking about seeking the will of God and seeking what he would have for us to do. Faith calls on us to rely on God's wisdom rather than our own understanding. God, I don't understand why this is happening. God didn't call you to understand. He called you to trust him. Why has my job done the things that they've done? Why is this health issue happening in my life? Why has this happened? Or why? I don't know. And if you want to ask the Lord why, go ahead. I don't think the Lord's going to be upset with you about that. But trust him. Trust him. We walk by faith, not by sight. But I don't know how it's going to end. Neither do we. We all think we have it all figured out. We got everything planned. You don't even know when the service is going to end this morning. Or this afternoon. It'll be this afternoon. It's afternoon. All right, so you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. And yet we live our lives we have everything figured out. And I'm not telling you, go ahead, plan your day. Have a schedule and have a plan. But how many times do those schedules and plans not go the way you think they're going to go? Because we are not in control. Do you realize that? But you know the one who is. And we need to live by faith, not by sight. Lord, I'm going to trust you. The Lord knows what's best. Well, why did this happen? I don't know. Maybe the Lord was protecting you from something. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But instead of looking and getting discouraged about every little thing that happens, why don't you look and just have faith and trust that God knows what's best for you in your life and what's going on. Faith calls us to rely on God. How about this one as we talk about the practice of faith? Letter B, strengthened faith comes through the Word of God. Say, Pastor, I want stronger faith. Do you know where that comes from? Trouble, that's another way. But how are you in the midst of that trouble going to, how's your faith going to increase? By God and His Word and what He's told you in it. What does the Bible tell us in Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say, I need to increase my faith. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? If I told you if you read 10 chapters a day of the Bible for a month, I'd give you $1,000. A lot of people would take me up on that. But if I tell you that you could increase your faith by reading and spending more time in God's Word, most people wouldn't take me up on that. I think your faith growing is more important than $1,000. You could spend that and waste it anyway. You say, no, we would need more. You know, everyone says, if I get that raise, everything will be great. I get that raise. Next raise, everything will be great. You'll never have enough. That's just the way it works. That's the way it is in life. But you got to understand something. Reading and meditating on the Scriptures deepens our trust in God. Because what's the Bible full of? Story after story after story of God coming through and delivering and keeping His Word. And in fact, we looked, you know why everything's not finished yet? Because God still has to keep some promises He made way back in the book of Genesis. That's why I'm a firm believer that the millennial reign has to be real, and it's a literal millennial reign. Because there are some promises He still has to finish giving to Israel. They're not all complete, and when it's all complete and everything's done, this earth will be done and done away with. Because when God says something, it doesn't matter how long it takes, God always delivers and always comes through. And it might not be on our timetable, but He's always right. And that's why we just need to have faith. The Bible's there and it says, this is God and this is what He does. Just believe me. It's literally what the Scriptures cry out. Believe me, believe me, believe me. Half the problem with the people with Jesus, they saw the miracles, they saw what took place, but then He would say something that was a little hard for them. I am the bread of life. Before Abraham was, I am. It took faith. And I love how Jesus turned to the disciples and said, are you going to leave me also? Well, Peter knew better. He said, where else are we going to go? You're the one who has the words of life. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is Jesus walking on the water towards them. And Peter saying, I'm going to come out and join you. That's faith. It really is. We read about, there are two times in Jesus' ministry. Let's see if anybody knows the answer to this. Two times in Jesus' ministry that He was amazed at the faith of someone. Okay. What? Go ahead. Yep. And neither one of them, well, neither one of them were the disciples. And more than anything, the disciples were right there and saw everything. And they were the ones that couldn't remember what He did in the moments that it mattered most. But there were those that the centurion literally, you don't need to come to my daughter. You can heal her right here. That's faith. Because we'd have been like, no, just come, touch her, touch my daughter, be right there, heal my daughter, let me see it. You don't need to come, just do it. You say it and it's done. That's faith. It's amazing, it wasn't the Jews that had the faith, it wasn't the disciples that had the faith, it's these two, only two times was Jesus astonished at someone's faith. And what faith is, it's literally, this is what the Bible says, who you are and what you do, and I trust you. In the midst of it, reading and meditating on the Scriptures deepen our trust in the Lord. And then as we practice it, we got to understand that we got to demonstrate faith in action in our lives. Genuine faith produces works that glorify God and benefits others. Works don't save you. Your faith in Christ is what saves you, which is something that the Lord gives you the ability to do. But around others. And the Bible tells us in James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. You can say, I trust the Lord. Well, talk is one thing. Let's see it. Do you really trust him? It's got to be demonstrated in action. Genuine faith produces works that glorify God. How we need that. You see, number four this afternoon, we're almost done. The impact of faith. How does faith impact our lives? Well, first off, letter A, it brings us to God. Think about this. If there was no faith, we couldn't even get to God. Right? Because this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, I know you're in this. It's New Testament, so this is Greek, but it's Hebrews, so Greek, Hebrew, whatever language you want to use anywhere. Do you know impossible still means the same thing? It's not possible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You and I cannot please God apart from faith. And you say, well, what's so the more faith I have, the more please God? No, don't go down that road. Don't do that to yourself. Salvation, saving faith. That's where God is pleased with us because of Jesus, right? And that's saving faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to understand something. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. And it pleases him, and it's needed to have a relationship with God. But remember, it's not your faith. It's his gift to you. It's where it gets so hard sometimes. It's like, I had faith. No, you're dead. Dead things don't have faith. Dead things don't move. Dead things don't do anything. The faith that you have was a gift from God, along with the grace to see us through. What a blessing that is in our lives. But the impact of faith, it brings us to God. How about this one, letter B? Our testimony to others. A life of faith is a powerful witness to the world of God's power and who he is. That's why I love in the book of James that passage that so many people would confuse. And I love how the author there, James, says, hey, I'll show you my faith by the way I live. That's what's needed today. People need to see. What a testimony. And we can see it in the Bible at times through people where, I think about David is a great example of that. Goliath's out there mocking God and all these things are taking place and no one wants to go battle Goliath. And David says, I'll do it. The Lord help me against the lion. The Lord help me against the bear. And the Lord's going to help me again right here. Hey, our lives are, do you realize people watch you? They really do. You know, people realize that you're gone on Sunday morning and you dress up to some degree. They have an idea that you're probably going to church. I'm sure at least one of your neighbors realizes you go to church. I'm pretty sure. And then you might talk to your neighbors some and you tell them about the Lord or whatever the case may be. They watch you. They really do. You know, it's getting worse for me. The longer I'm here in the community, the more people know I'm a pastor or I'm a chaplain at the police department or whatever else. And I need to set the right example. You need to set the right example. It's what Matthew 5:16 is all about. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You want the Lord to get the honor and praise. And a faithful life is a powerful witness of the Lord and what he's doing in your life. And then we see letter C, and lastly, we see victory in life's challenges. We sing that song, right? Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. Well, that song, the idea behind it comes from 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Literally, faith is the victory. Hey, when I started a church on the other side of town, it was Faith Baptist Church. Then within a month, a building, some people, everything else, faith turned to victory. Oh, I'll never forget that. And then I would always tease Jay and Marquise that faith went from victory to liberty. Liberty, that's where they were. But anyways, yeah. But literally, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith empowers us to overcome obstacles and live victoriously in Christ. Show me in the, look through the Bible, those who had strong faith in God and the obstacles that they could overcome and the things that happened in their lives. There are many examples of people having a lack of faith. And that's one of the things, I love too about the Bible, is that all the people that are mentioned in the Bible, none of them were perfect with it. Like John the Baptist, he's one of the best men you could ever read about in the Bible. He was, he no pride in him. I must decrease, he needs to increase. When his ministry is dwindling and Jesus is taking off, that's a powerful statement. Because that's not something you and I would just do. You'd be like, well, his ministry can grow and mine can grow too. Because that pride, he had no pride. What a man that lived the life he did, stood against wrong. And Jesus is the one that said, there's not a man better born among women than John the Baptist. Jesus said those words. So I don't need to tell you how good John the Baptist was. But Jesus said it. But he's the one that says, he's saying in prison, hey, just go ask him, are you really the one? And this is the man who earlier on said, I'm not worthy to loosen your shoe latchet. Why should I baptize you? It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Because this is the thing. There are moments in life that we're going to have strong faith. There's going to be other moments that we doubt. But we got to move from those doubts and get back to faith. And what I'm trying to tell you today is, you are not on your own. The Spirit of God has given you the ability to have faith in those moments through the Spirit's help. And he's there to guide you and to help you and get you where you need to be. Let me ask you this afternoon as we're just about done here. Are you bearing the fruit of faith in your life? Are you trusting God? Are you living faithfully? You see, apart from the Lord, we can't even live faithfully and do what the Lord's called us to do. Faith grows in our lives as we depend upon the Holy Spirit, as we trust God's promises, and as we follow his word. I would encourage you to grow your faith.